Hello, my name is Ginger Feldman from High and Mighty Therapeutic Riding and Driving Center, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC ACRA.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show on Election Day. Yes, today is School Board Election Day and School Budget Election Day, and every school in the area has a vote. You can go to the WGXC newsroom for more information, and we've got several reports during this next hour about voting locally. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate, and it all starts after the local news, which is next. Stay tuned to the WGXC Morning Show.
News. This is the network, network. On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
On June 17th, three bands come to Tubby's in Kingston. First, E, the trio of Jason Sidney Sanford, Thaddeus Zedek, and Gavin McCarthy play rock music. A Live Skull, the renowned 1980s post-punk experimental rock band, is back together and are playing on this show with Upper Wilds, who record for Thrill Jockey and feature multi-instrumentalist songwriter Dan Friel, who's best known for his work in the band Parts and Labor. E, Live Skull, and Upper Wilds play at Tubby's in Kingston June 17th, and you can find out more about this show and many others on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Spike's Record Rack in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Voters statewide go to the polls May 17th to cast their ballots in the annual school board elections and district budget votes. Andrea Macko reports in Greene County, all six school districts have proposed spending plans for the 2022-2023 school year that fall below their state tax caps. If any budget is rejected by the voters, the district can resubmit the original spending plan or submit a revised proposal to voters on June 21st. If that budget is also rejected, the district must adopt a contingency budget with a 0% tax levy increase. The Cara-Durham School District is proposing a $35.18 million annual budget that carries a tax levy increase of 2.9%. The district is also looking for voters to approve three additional propositions: the purchase of six school buses at a cost not to exceed $686,000, the creation of a capital reserve fund, and an $848 increase to the annual appropriation for the Cara Public Library. Voters will select candidates to fill three seats on the Board of Education, each carrying three-year terms. The Catskill School District is proposing a budget of $48.6 million that carries a projected tax levy increase of 1.85%. The Board of Education has also proposed a separate proposition that would allow the district to bond up to $400,000 over a five-year period to replace aging maintenance and ground equipment, as well as purchase a 16-passenger school bus. Voters will elect candidates to fill three seats on the Board of Education that carry three-year terms. The Greenville School District is proposing a budget of $33.7 million with a projected tax levy increase of 2.25%. Voters will be asked to decide on a $700 increase for the Greenville Public Library and a $563 increase for the Rensselaerville Library. There will be a proposition to authorize the district to bond up to $1.2 million to purchase eight new buses and two vans as part of its fleet replacement plan. And voters will be asked to approve the district to create a new capital reserve fund to be capped at $2 million. Voters will elect candidates to fill three seats on the Board of Education that carry three-year terms. The Coxsackie Athens School District is proposing a budget of $34.7 million with a projected tax levy increase of 2.92%. Voters will elect candidates to fill three seats on the Board of Education that carry three-year terms. The Wyndham Ashland Jewett School District is proposing a budget of $13.26 million with a projected tax levy increase of 2.76%. Voters will also decide on a capital project not to exceed $5,655,000. Voters will be selecting one Board of Education member to a five-year term. The Hunter Tannersville School District is proposing a budget of $14.7 million with a projected tax levy increase of 2.36%. Voters will be asked to authorize the district to acquire school buses at a maximum cost of $73,000 from the Bus and Vehicle Capital Reserve Fund and to authorize the acquisition of a transportation vehicle at a maximum cost of $39,000, also from the Bus and Vehicle Capital Reserve Fund. Voters will be asked to select one Board of Education member to fill a five-year term. Columbia County. Amelia Teasdale reports in the Columbia paper that the Chatham School Board is proposing a budget of $33.62 million with a projected tax levy increase of 2.75%. The board also adopted a separate proposition that would create a capital reserve fund allowing the district to set aside up to $5 million over a 10-year period to fund future improvements to the district's facilities. Voters will be asked to select four Board of Education members to serve terms of various duration. Germantown School Board is proposing a budget of $16.9 million with a projected tax levy increase of 2.69%. Voters will be asked to select two Board of Education members for four-year terms. The Hudson School District is proposing a budget of $54.13 million with a projected tax levy increase of 2%. Voters will select five Board of Education members to serve various durational terms. The Ichabod Crane School District is proposing a budget of $46.6 million with a projected tax levy increase of 2.3%. The board is also asking for the approval of a $444,000 bus proposition, providing for the purchase of three new 72-passenger buses and one new 29-passenger bus. There's also a proposition to continue having a student non-voting member on the board. Voters will be asked to select three Board of Education members to serve three-year terms. The New Lebanon School Board is proposing a budget of $12.9 million with a projected tax levy increase of 2.3%. There's also a proposition on the ballot for the purchase of two 66-passenger buses at a cost not to exceed $251,000. Voters will pick three Board of Education members. The Taconic Hills School District is proposing a budget of $39.68 million with a projected tax levy increase of 1%. There are also propositions on the ballot for purchasing three school buses at a maximum cost of $393,500 and authorizing the board to reconstruct various district buildings and sites with incidental costs of $691,000. And voters will select four Board of Education members for terms of various lengths. Go to the WGXC newsroom for more information about voting today, Tuesday, May 17th.
Michelle Del Rey reports in the Times Union, Representative Elise Stefanik, a North County Republican, used the same replacement theory in Facebook ads last fall that the racist Buffalo mass shooter allegedly cited numerous times in his online screed. Several media descriptions of the shooter's post say he believed in the discredited theory that white Americans are being replaced by foreign migrants. Stefanik's ad said, and I quote, "Radical Democrats are planning their most aggressive move yet, a permanent election insurrection. Their plan to grant amnesty to 11 million illegal immigrants will overthrow our current electorate and create a permanent liberal majority in Washington," end quote. Even though the language in Stefanik's ad was nearly identical to racist replacement theory chatter online and on Tucker Carlson's Fox TV show, her spokesperson denied the link. Stefanik's spokesperson, Alex DeGrasse, said, and I quote, "We've never been in favor of replacement theory," end quote. He added that the congresswoman, and I quote, "has never advocated for any racist position or made a racist statement," end quote. According to the National Immigration Forum, the replacement theory, and I quote, "states that welcoming immigration policies, particularly those impacting non-white immigrants, are part of a plot designed to undermine or replace the political power and culture of white people living in Western countries," end quote. The New York shooter traveled from the Binghamton area to a predominantly black area of Buffalo, where he shot 11 black and 2 white citizens, killing 10. America has welcomed migrants since forming in 1776, and only Native Americans would be here without immigration. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Mid-Hudson News reports that scammers often attempt to take advantage of tragedies, according to New York Attorney General Letitia James. On May 15th, James issued a warning to New Yorkers to watch out for potentially fraudulent charities created in the wake of the racist terror attack in Buffalo. James suggests that anyone who wants to make a donation to assist victims of the shooting should first consult the officer's charitable giving tips before donating. James said, and I quote, "In the wake of tragedies, like the horrific shooting in Buffalo, scammers often take advantage of acts of kindness for personal gain. As New Yorkers from every corner of the state show their support and solidarity with the Buffalo community, I urge them to be careful of sham charities and make sure they give to trustworthy organizations and groups. I join the whole Buffalo community and the entire state of New York in mourning this senseless, hate-filled act of terror," end quote. The Attorney General's website, charitiesnys.com, includes financial reports of legitimate charities. Anyone who believes an organization is misrepresenting its work or that a fundraising or charitable scam is taking place should contact the Charities Bureau at charities.complaints@ag.ny.gov. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. Emily Brown and Rebecca McCray report in New York Focus that New York prisoners are losing their right to regularly receive care packages by mail or in person from family and friends. The new policy right now is for 8 prisons, but is a pilot program meant to expand to all New York prisons. Family and friends will not be allowed anymore to bring loved ones packages of food when they come to visit or to send them through the mail. And they also can't send more than 2 non-food packages per year. And everything else must be purchased and sent through private companies willing to ship to prisons. Jerry Zielinski, who is currently incarcerated at Attica, asked, and I quote, "Am I going to be prevented from getting winter clothes if I get a book from my mom in the summer?" End quote. Acting Department of Corrections and Community Supervision Commissioner Anthony Annucci said in a memo that the new policy was in response to, and I quote, "an increase in violence and overdose due to the introduction of contraband through the package room, specifically illicit drugs and weapons, end quote. Contraband, though, gets to inmates in multiple ways, and limiting mail won't do anything to stop corrections officers from bringing drugs, weapons, and other contraband into prisons and jails. While many cases of corrections officers smuggling contraband for prisoners are in the public record, an investigation into the similar limiting of mail by Texas corrections officials in 2020 showed no impact on the amount of drugs circulating in that state's prisons. In 2018, then-Governor Andrew Cuomo halted a similar policy called the Secure Vendor Package Program, which limited packages to coming from vendors with limited selections with prices as much as 130% higher than on the outside. Michael Capers, who was incarcerated at Upstate Franklin and Fishkill Correctional Facilities, said, and I quote, "I did 12 years in prison. My whole time in prison, I've never received a package from a vendor. And the reason being is because it's too expensive. So my family, I told them I'd rather have nothing than to make them pay extra money," end quote. The new policy will end one program from a Germantown farm. Jalal Sabour, founder of Sweet Freedom Farm in Germantown, set up farm stands at the Fishkill and Attica prisons where they hand out fresh food for visitors to give to inmates. Sabour said, "Now no one can actually bring those packages in. So that whole program that we've been doing, we can't do anymore," end quote. Read more about this story in New York Focus.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
Your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, a slight chance of showers after 3 p.m. It will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 68 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 47 degrees. And on Wednesday, sunny with a high near 68 degrees. And Wednesday night, isolated showers after 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with the temperature low of around 48 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Tuesday, May 17th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM. Including at 9 a.m., the WGXC Morning Show features the Hudson Valley Congressional Report with what our local representatives in D.C. have been up to and also what the candidates who want to replace them are doing. The Ginger Radio Hour is at 10 a.m. live from WGXC's Wave Farm in Acre. And today, Justin Maiman speaks with Allison Levy and Scott Serrano, who are trying to create a living textbook of plants that can be grown in the Hudson Valley. At 11 a.m., the Early Electro Mix show features composers Desmond Leslie, Ennis Xenakis, and Bernard Parmigiani, among others. At noon, after the local news, DJ Patty Boom is live with Vinyl Freedom, 2 hours of rock, pop, reggae, more. 3 p.m., the Radio Art Hour features Cafe Matthews, Kamikaze Jones, and Scanner. At 7 p.m., Kimberly Irwin speaks with Shoshal Mazan, a member of the Hudson Common Council, on her Race Talk program. And then we're live at 8 p.m. from Catskill and Lexington in Greene County, Johnny Sturman and Carmen Borgia and the Ukuleles Unleashed program. 10 p.m. we're live from Columbia County with Dan Seward and the Battlefield Earth program, live on 90.7 FM WGXC.
get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On June 17th, three bands come to Tubby's in Kingston. First, E, the trio of Jason Sidney Sanford, Thalia Zedek, and Gavin McCarthy play rock music. Live Skull, the renowned 1980s post-punk experimental rock band, is back together and are playing on this show with Upper Wilds, who record for Thrill Jockey and feature multi-instrumentalist songwriter Dan Friel, who's best known for his work in the band Parts and Labor. E, Live Skull, and Upper Wilds play at Tubby's in Kingston June 17th, and you can find out more about this show and many others on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. You're listening to Quintron's Weather Warlock. Live stream of an analog drone synthesizer played by the weather, made by the New Orleans-based artist Quintron. You can listen to the Quintron Weather Warlock take the changes in weather at Wave Farm in Greene County and hear it anytime, 24 hours a day, at wavefarm.org/listen. Go to any WGXC.org webpage and click on the listen button to hear Quintron's Weather Warlock, turning the changes in precipitation and sunlight and wind and temperature into sound.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, May 17th. Early this morning, the temperature range is 51 degrees in East Bern to 55 in Germantown. Soil temperature is 59 degrees. Any lingering rain from yesterday should be gone by sunup. Temperatures will make it up to 69 degrees by 4 p.m. And from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., wind gusts will be reaching 30 miles per hour. So make sure there isn't anything loose in your yard. Overnight, temperatures fall to 48 degrees. Keep an extra blanket handy if you leave the windows open. Tomorrow will be sunny with a moderate breeze and a high of 71 at 4 p.m. After dark, rain enters the area, getting stronger overnight as temperatures fall to 50 degrees. On Thursday, the rain will taper off by mid-afternoon and we will see a high of 68. 53 degrees overnight takes us into a warm-looking Friday with a high of 84. Pollen levels for today will be high. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 4:10 a.m., then low tide at 11:17 a.m. Then we have high tide at 4:44 p.m. and low tide once again at 11:18 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 67 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:55 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:29 a.m. Looking way up, we see flare alerts are up and sunspots are going nuts, with more active ones being produced every day. Solar wind speed is currently 588 kilometers per second at 11.5 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible and not getting much better, with overnight conditions being fair for only below 4 megahertz. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 173. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Russell Miller of New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
Early Electromix is a series to document the history of experimental electronic music from the 50s to the 80s. Pioneers who paved the way for what was to become techno, ambient, electronica, and most of what we are listening to. Essential Culture on air every Tuesday from 11 to 12 a.m.
Just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. We want to be free to ride. We want to be free to ride our machines without being hassled by the man.
Hello? We are extremely pleased that you are here.
Forever.
It is good to come together for the purpose of co-creating. Do you agree?
Just like that.
You're knowing what you are wanting?
No memory whatsoever.
Hello.
It is an expanding thing, yes.
Hello.
And that's good, yes.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Well, here's what it says.
It's beginning to rival people.
This is what it says.
It is beginning to rival people.
This is what it says.
Can you hear me?
Well, here's what it says.
Hello?
The pulse. Like.
Can you hear me?
The pulse that is erratic and irregular. The pulse. Thousands of minutes a month.
Can you hear me?
For dozens of hours a week.
Oh. So I'm not interested in dying the way that people did in the past. I would rather be dead than die of the diseases of aging.
We're going to start to add 10, 20, 30 years on your life. Longevity escape velocity.
Because we're not dead today.
The point at which for every year that you're alive,
technology
is extending your life for more than a year.
You don't have to die.
People who want to live.
Hello. Hello.
Wouldn't it be nice to have the option
yeah.
to extend our lives as long as we wish?
We're starting to upload ourselves.
What are you worried about?
Several versions of you exploring the universe reanimate you in different forms. Something will be backing us up.
Because it is possible. It is inevitable.
But we don't think it's inevitable. We think it can be stopped.
And perhaps it's not even there.
The pulse.
But if it is,
you'll recognize it.
Ingenious intelligence
I recognize it.
Helps to interrupt growth.
You'll recognize it.
Recognize cytotoxic into space.
Blocking duplication.
Can they be duplicated?
You'll recognize
it.
I already
said it. A 7-year-old innocent child with cytotoxic into space.
You do recognize it.
Yeah. The variety of cells in the network must grow.
You'll recognize it.
This involves aggregation.
About
my cancer.
You'll recognize it.
We certainly hope you do at least as well as the cellular phone industry.
We're in the midst of an experiment on my grandchildren and your children. We're in the midst of an experiment. It's the pulse.
congratulations.
We don't have a control group.
The world's biggest problems, but the world's biggest business opportunities.
Over a lifetime.
You're here.
That irregular pulse signal.
Congratulations.
The pulse.
I don't think you can do anything.
Pulse.
But go ahead.
Pulse.
We have more capital available than ever in human history.
This is our last chance.
Pulse. Microwave radiation.
And I think
your owner's manual.
It's a winner.
Says that the smartphone should never be within about an inch of the body.
The pulse in your pocket.
If we...
Are you Mr. Edge?
If you...
We haven't heard from that. Do you want to keep crying for you?
Just like that.
You want to cancel? Okay, we'll cancel for now. Thank you.
That was the title track, The World Will Decide, from Negative Land's 2020 album of that same name, on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Take Back Our School Boards has endorsed conservative candidates across the country. Here to help us understand more about this group, Take Back Our School Boards, and the impact on the campaigns, especially here locally, is Sean Young from All of Us Community Action Group. So from your understanding, what is or what drives this national group, Take Back Our School Boards?
I feel like what's driving them is the changes that have happened over the course of several years in our community. This level of awareness around social justice and racial justice issues have increased. There are more and more people that are on board with the understanding that these changes actually need to happen, that equity is the thing that needs to come to our community, that we need to be teaching our children an honest history of this country and where we've been in order for us to understand like where we're going as a society. These folks that are part of these different groups are against that. They don't want change. They want power to, in my opinion, stay in certain pockets of this community. They don't value the entire community in a way that would reflect in some of their political rhetoric. They're interested more in ignoring our actual history and continuing to walk with blinders. And that doesn't make a lot of sense for so many of us in our community. And they operate from a place of fear, that to change things is scary and that you should fear that change and not welcome it.
Thank you for that. So school board elections are on Tuesday, May 17th.
Yes.
Groups like Take Back Our School Boards are supporting candidates here in the Capital Region. What yes. should people know going in and voting on Tuesday, and sort of like what is their campaign locally?
You have a slate of candidates that are deniers of actual history, that they don't want to hear about critical race theory, which is really just basically a retelling of the actual history of addressing the many omissions that you and I, as growing up in public school, that happened with us, and just trying to basically just understand that so that we don't repeat those mistakes and then help us move forward. And you also have candidates that, you know, that are denying data around having police in schools and what that impact has on Black and Brown students. Listen, we have a more and more diverse community, right? Every generation, our communities are getting more and more diverse. There are those folks that will, in so many different ways, are attempting to deny those populations the right to their own history and then the right to determine what they want for their kids in schools and the right, to, I believe, to a fullness of the society. Look at who the conservatives are endorsing. You have conservatives like Liz Joy, right-wing folks. You have conservatives like Rudy Giuliani, who are swooping down from a national platform to endorse candidates to actually take over our education system. That's a scary thing. We have enough problems as it is. Now you have conservative right wings trying to tell us, like, no, we can't teach our kids this stuff, and we need to roll back the progress that we made. And we don't want to do that. So those candidates are clear. In the city of Schenectady, you have folks that are running, and I would say take a close look at who's endorsing them and who's not. I would say that it's really problematic with the endorsements of the right-wing folks for two of those candidates.
And Sean, how do parents who are more progressive-leaning participate as parents through the mechanisms of like school boards?
One of the first steps is just understanding the actual history, right? And getting involved as much as possible in showing up at the school board and having your voice heard on these issues, listening in on some of the policies and some of the policies that are coming out of the school board, paying close attention to what's going on at your particular school with the principal on down and what your child is being taught. It's important to do all of that. And it's also important to partner with other parents, right? In your community, one of the things that becomes really, really problematic in our communities is that we don't talk to each other enough. It's about reaching out and having those conversations. The concerns you have, I'm sure, are shared by other people. And opening that door to communication could mean the world of difference in finding other support networks and other ways of thinking and talking about the issue that you have concern, other ways to addressing them. So you have this community aspect where I'm talking to my neighbors, I'm talking to other family members that have children at the school, right? And I'm talking to the folks at the school itself, and I'm showing up at the board meetings, because that's where you can actually speak to the administrative staff. You can have your issues heard by them and the board. The superintendent and his staff shows up at every board meeting. You can have your voice heard. There was a process of like being able to write in, sending emails, And problematic thing there, Kathy Lewis, the president of the board, recently has quelled that, like stopped that process, which is what I believe was a longstanding process of hearing from the community through email of those that couldn't show up. And what I believe was to silence a lot of the voices that were against some of the policies that they were that some on the board were for. And that's a problematic way of proceeding in anything. It's a democratic process. We want to hear from the voices of the community. And if you want to, if you're trying to get involved, I believe those are the steps you could take. It's not always easy getting up and talking, right, on a microphone. And maybe it's easier for talking to the family of your children's friends. But maybe it's easier to do that than to get on a microphone. Maybe it's easier to send an email. Maybe it's easier just to talk within your neighborhood, but action steps have to happen because policy changes are going on. And if you want your voice heard, you have to step up in some way.
This group, this national campaign supported by Liz Joy and Rudy Giuliani, is everywhere. Take back our school boards. It's not just here in the Capital Region. Mm-hmm. Are there any nationally grounded movements that counteract these conservative groups? Or like, what strategies should we be thinking of tactically to challenge this well-funded movement?
Wow, that's a huge question. And I am unaware of any large national groups, and that's a problem in and of itself, because this is happening from the right-wing advocacy point. Where are the other points of view and perspectives? Where's the money being spent to ensure that these things aren't happening? Right now, it feels really like a local, we're fighting this national thing locally, and that's scary as hell. I know NYCLU has at least written some letters about, you know, reasons why some of the policies of like having police in schools is problematic, and there's all the data that supports that. But we haven't seen like a national push to be like, wait a minute, we can't do this. And you think about the idea of naming your group Take Back Our School Boards. They're trying to take our education. They're trying to take our education system and turn it on its head and for so that it fits a particular agenda. Right. An agenda that leaves out many. Right. That doesn't address the history of slavery, the history of oppression and the history is all that. It's almost like we would rather glorify our history and deny all the other truths and to keep walking in our future with blindfolds. And it doesn't make any sense. I call on any national group that is against this right wing agenda to step up to the plate. There's 30 states in this country that have a Republican majority or conservative majorities right now. These things are going to be happening time and time again. How we educate our children is extremely important to what kind of society we have. And if we allow this to happen on this level, where else will it go? I call on the voters, I call on the families in the community that want to see their children get a full understanding of the history of this country. They want to be safe. They want to be well. They want to be in community with other cultures and other people that are different. I call on them to come out, vote, get involved, get engaged. It's about the future of our children.
Sean Young, thank you so much for joining us today on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. Was there anything that I didn't ask you about that you want to make sure that you fit in?
Like whether you have children in school or you don't have children in school, what happens in that school building, how our children are educated determines how our society will be run in future generations. If we have differences of opinion about how we move forward, fine. We work through that through a democratic process, through a community process, and we're not gonna agree on all things. But some of the stuff that are coming from the right wing is dangerous, in my opinion, and very scary. And I would say that it's worthy of your time, your concern, your care to show up at the voting booth, to show up in conversations with your family in the neighborhood, and to show up talking with family members at the school itself. I hope that you do. Either way, you don't do something, you do something, it's going to have an impact. No one's on the sidelines in this.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Next, we hear from Madur Maktur, who just signed with Matador Records and has his first single out on the new label, Tis Mitten, 2020 new music from Madur Maktur.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
We have a moral obligation, to pass this assistance as soon as we can in the Senate.
A $40 billion Ukraine aid bill cleared a preliminary Senate vote Monday, setting up final passage this week. The bipartisan measure was temporarily blocked by Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky last week, which drew a rebuke from Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer Monday.
Senator Paul's obstruction of Ukraine funding is totally unacceptable and only serves to strengthen Putin's hand in the long run. But to be clear, his obstruction will not prevent Ukraine aid from ultimately passing the Senate.
The White House has released a new strategy to tackle rising housing costs. Among other initiatives, the plan calls for rewarding cities who reform zoning to allow more high-density housing and expanding federal funding for affordable housing. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says the plan will help match supply and demand.
Today's action plan includes legislative and administrative actions that will help close America's housing supply shortfalls in 5 years, starting with the creation of preservation of hundreds of thousands of affordable housing units in the next 3 years.
The Pew Research Center reports the average cost of rent in America has risen by about 18% over the past 5 years, outpacing inflation by 2%. Senator Ted Cruz has won a lawsuit before the U.S. Supreme Court concerning his use of post-election campaign donations to recover personal loans to his 2018 Senate campaign. A bipartisan 2002 law capped those reimbursements at $250,000, which the Texas Republican was $10,000 over. President Joe Biden will visit Buffalo, New York today, just a few days after an 18-year-old man who authorities say spoke and wrote about white supremacist beliefs allegedly killed 10 and injured 3 in a shooting at a neighborhood supermarket. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said the federal government is treating the attack as a hate crime, but not an act of domestic terrorism.
The term domestic terrorism is a legal term, and because the investigation is ongoing, I won't employ that term.
President Biden plans to redeploy U.S. soldiers to Somalia in an effort to combat al-Shabaab terrorist forces in the East African nation. In December 2020, former President Donald Trump pulled out most of the 700 American troops stationed there. Pentagon spokesperson John Kirby says the troops won't be directly engaged in combat operations and will focus on advising and assisting local military.
The purpose here is to enable a more effective fight against al-Shabaab by local forces, and al-Shabaab has increased in their strength and poses a heightened threat.
The redeployment will be capped at about 500 soldiers. U.S. intelligence agencies estimate al-Shabaab, which is affiliated with al-Qaeda, has between 5 and 10,000 troops. I'm Jonah Chester for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show?
Would you like to do a show?
Chocolate pigs.
I turned it down.
The only dogs can hear.
I turned it down.
Did you hear that?
No.
On May 16th, the court appointed special master charged with drawing New York's new congressional and state senate maps released a preliminary draft of the new boundaries the state will have for the next decade. Carnegie Mellon University fellow Jonathan Service as special master drew lines for the state's 26 House seats, with 15 leaning Democratic, 3 leaning Republican, and 8 falling into the 45-55% competitive range. The new map splits up 15 counties compared to 34 county splits under the legislature's plan that was struck down in April by the state's highest court for unconstitutional gerrymandering. The biggest changes from the maps drawn by state Democratic lawmakers in February include the 22nd District in central New York and the 19th District in the Hudson Valley. The 19th now extends from Columbia County to Broome County and Cortland County. The district is currently represented by U.S. Representative Antonio Delgado. He is expected to resign and be sworn in as the state's next lieutenant governor later this month. The 21st district, currently represented by Republican Elise Stefanik, extends south to include all of Montgomery and Schoharie counties and northern Saratoga County. Quote, the map maintains Democratic strongholds in Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, and Albany, and also maintains a southern tier district, unquote, said Jeff Weiss, senior fellow at the New York Census Redistricting Institute at New York Law School. Overall, the districts are very compact across the state. The downstate districts are very compact, unquote. Midhudson News is reporting the new 18th district now includes Orange County, southern Ulster, and most of Dutchess County. Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan announced on Twitter that he will run for the new seat. State Senator James Skoufis, also a Democrat, tweeted that he is, quote, seriously considering a run for the 18th district seat. The new 17th district would encompass much of the lower Hudson Valley, and incumbent Democrat Sean Patrick Maloney will run in that district. Primaries for U.S. House and State Senate were pushed back to August 23rd. The New York 20th district now leaves